ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम। बृहदारण्यक उपनिषत् मुनिकाण्डं चाप्टर् 4 सेक्शन् 3 श्लोक 7। कथम आत्मेति योऽयं विज्ञानमयः प्राणेषु हृद्यन्तर्ज्योतिः पुरुषः सः समानस्सन् उभौ लोकावनुसञ्चरति ध्यायतीव लेलायतीव सहि स्वप्नो भूत्वा इमं लोकम् अतिक्रामति मृत्योरूपाणि। We have been seeing this shloka. So in the seventh mantra of Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, the Upanishad reveals that Atma is different from the body. And in this context, Shankaracharya analyzes the views of the Buddhist philosophers who also point out that Atma is different from the body. But the problem with them is, when they say that Atma is different from the body, they refer to the Buddhi as the Atma. Acharya elaborately analyzes Buddhist views and refutes their philosophy. So in the last class, we pointed out that there are four branches of Buddhism, namely Vaibhashika, Sautrantika, Yogacara, and Madhyamika Buddhism. Among them, the first three, that is Vaibhashika, Sautrantika, and Yogacara, they all agree Atma is in the form of Buddhi except Madhyamika Buddhism. And even though they say Buddhi is Atma, they don't use the term Buddhi. By Buddhi, they mean the expression of Kshanika Vijnana Pravahaha, that is the flow of momentary consciousness, the continuous and constant flow of momentary consciousness. But even though it is a constant flow of momentary consciousness, we do not feel the flow because it is so close, like a movie. When it moves very fast, we have the illusion or the feeling that there is a constant flow, although individual pictures keep on moving. In the same way, the subject is not a constant, continuous entity. The constancy is but an illusion. But the fact is that the subject is a constant flow of momentary consciousness. Kshanika Vijnana Pravaha is seen as Atma, which is nothing but Buddhi, according to them. So in Buddhi alone, there is constant flow of thoughts, and along with that, there is constant flow of knowledge also. Every thought corresponds to knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge flow is equal to thought flow, is equal to Vijnana Pravaha, which is equal to Buddhi alone, in their view. So before refuting this philosophy, we have to make a note here. This is the Buddhism as represented by the traditional acharyas. But there are university scholars, recent scholars and all who have got totally different views. According to these modern Buddhist scholars, our traditional people, including acharyas, have not understood the Buddhist teaching properly. That is their view. They say that Buddhism teaches exactly the Advaitins' views only. Therefore, they contend Kshanika Vijnanam of Buddhism is nothing but Advaitins' concept of Nitya Chaitanyam alone, as some people interpret. Similarly, they say Shunyavada is not total nihilism. Nihilism is the belief that all values are baseless and that nothing can be known or communicated. This is a totally different topics. So Shunyavada is the absence of the world in Brahman. This is Advaita. We will not go into the details. What we want to say is Buddhism is being interpreted by two different sets of people in two different ways. And according to the modern scholars of Buddhism, Buddhism talks exactly the same as Advaita only. When someone argues like that, what should we say? Swami Dayananda Saraswati, he gives a very beautiful answer. He says, we are not interested in refuting people. We are not against Buddha. We only analyze teachings of Buddha. If Buddhism also teaches the same thing as Advaita, then we will never refute that teaching and we will absorb that teaching. And not only that, we will install Buddha as one of the traditional acharyas also. After all, we have had so many acharyas and we may add Buddha also in the list of acharyas. We have no problems. We don't hate people for hating sake. We have no ragadvesha problem. We will object one thing though. Not accept the name Buddhism. If Buddha taught the same teaching of Advaitam, then it is also nothing but Vedanta, which was taught by people even before Buddha was born. Buddha was born Sanatana Dharmi, a Hindu. Even before Buddha, we had so many rishis. We had Vedas, and Buddha only propagated the Vedantic teachings. And one should not call it Buddhism, as we don't say Shankaraism or Vyasaism or any of those. Therefore, if Buddhism and Vedanta are one and the same, remove the term Buddhism. If Buddhism is different from Vedanta, then we will analyze. And if it is found illogical, we will refute that. Here, when we are discussing Buddhism, we are talking Buddhism as seen by the traditional acharyas. According to that, what is Atma? It is not Nitya Vijnanam, but Kshanika Vijnanam, which is nothing but Buddhi. Therefore, we have to point out, Buddhi is not Atma. On the other hand, there is an Atma different from the Buddhi. This has to be established purely with the help of logic, without quoting Shruti. Why? Because Buddhists do not accept Shruti Pramanam and Shastra Pramanam. And therefore, we will see how Shankaracharya approaches that point of view only through logic tarka. Now, the first part of discussion is the refutation of Vaibhashika and Sautrantika systems. First, Shankaracharya addresses these two people. He says that Buddhi is not Atma because Buddhi has got an illuminator, a knower, different from Buddhi. In short, Buddhi is not the ultimate knower, and Buddhi itself is known entity, and therefore there is a knower of Buddhi. There is an illuminator of Buddhi. Who says all this? Shankaracharya says. So which is someone different from the Buddhi. And that illuminator of Buddhi is called Atma. Buddhi is not Atma. Buddhi's illuminator is Atma. Buddhihi na Atma. Buddhi Sakshi Eva Atma. So this Acharya presents in the form of an Anumana. Shankaracharya presents in the form of Anumana. Buddhihi Swa Itara Basakavati Basatvena Basatvate Gatavate. So what does it mean? Buddhi has got an illuminator different from itself. Why? Because Buddhi is illumined like what? Like a pot, Gatavate. For example, this clock, there is a clock in this room. So this clock is Swa Itara Vasakavan. The clock has got an illuminator different from itself. Because clock is illumined and therefore there is an illuminator light different from the clock. And if you extend the same logic to Buddhi, it is like a clock illumined and therefore there should be an illuminator different from Buddhi. This is Shankaracharya's Anumana. For this, the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika Buddhists, they come out with an answer. And they say, you should not take a pot example at all. I don't like pot example, which has a lighter, illuminator, different from pot, all that. You will talk of an illuminator different from Buddhi. He says, I take a different example. And what is the example? I will take Deepaha. The light itself is the example he will take. That, and what is the uniqueness of light? light illumines the other objects, and not only that, the light illumines itself also. It is self-illumining as well as illumining others as well. So it is swaparabhasakaha. So light is capable of illumining itself, swaparabhasakaha, and parabhasaka, others also, other subjects, objects also. Therefore, light does not require another illuminator. In the same way, buddhi does not require another illuminator, known as atma. Buddhi does two jobs. Buddhi will illumine the external world and it will illumine itself also. Therefore, we do not require another atma. Then what is this anumanam? Buddhihi swa para basikam basakatvat deepatvat. Deepavat. So buddhi illumines itself and others also. Like what? A lamp or a light. So this is statement of whom? The Purvapakshi Buddhist. So what is their conclusion? Just as light illumines itself and others, so also is buddhi, and there is no need for anything to illumine the buddhi. This is their argument, for which Shankaracharya gives the answer. He says, first Acharya says, light illumines itself is a strong, wrong argument, wrong statement. Why? Because firstly, if you say light illumines itself, it will mean light itself is the illumined and illuminator both. Light itself becomes the subject and object. Light itself. That is illogical. One and the same entity cannot be the subject illuminator and the object that is illumined. The eyes can see everything except one thing it cannot see. What is it? Itself. Eyes cannot see itself. The subject can never be the object and object can never be the subject. Hence, the statement is illogical. And the second effect is, when you say light illumines everything, something, what happens? Suppose the light illumines this clock that is in the room, as I took the example. What does it mean? Before the process of illumination, the clock was covered by what? Darkness. Therefore, it was a covered clock, covered with darkness, or an invisible clock. The moment light illumines, what happens? The moment the light illumines, the darkness that covered the clock or part of our entities is no more there. The part is evident, or the light is, the clock is evident. It has become anavrita ghataha. Avrita ghataha means covered part. Anavrita means uncovered. So when illumination takes place, there is a conversion from avrita avastha, the covered avastha, to anavrita avastha, uncovered avastha. So light illumines the part means what? Light converts avrita part to anavrita part. Avrita and anavrita, I hope you understand the meaning. So this conversion is called illumination. Now Shankaracharya asked the question, suppose you say light illumines itself. If we have to use the verb of illumination, there must be some process taking place in the light itself. The verb refers to an action. So the action should be at a point of time, and at the moment, and the moment you say the light illumines at some time, then what happens? Before that time, the light must be avrita light, covered light. So after the appointed time, it should become anavrita light. So do we see such avrita, anavrita beda? Because they wanted to take Deepak as the example. But in this case, do you see an avrita, anavrita beda? We do not see that at all. Therefore, the light is not an object of illumination, because any object of illumination should have two avastas, the avrita avastha and anavrita avastha. Light does not have avrita avastha, anavrita avastha. So both are not there. Therefore, Acharya says, Vishesha Abhavad. Therefore, what is the first mistake? Kartru Karma Virodaha. Subject and object cannot be the same. And that is first one, Kartru Karma Virodaha. And second defect that we just saw is Avrita Anavrita Vishesha. So to point out that the light is illumined. And that is what, that is why we say that in the case of Atma also, we should never say Atma knows itself. That's a wrong statement. Then it will be subject to the same defects. If we say Atma knows itself, what it means? Not knowing this, many people, what they say, they make the same mistake. That is what they say in Nirvikalpaka Avastha, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Atma will know itself. They say all these things. We have to study about self during Shravanam and understand it in Mananam, and through Nididhyasana, we should reach Nirvikalpaka Samadhi and to know Atma. This is logically wrong and a mistake. This is the second point. And the third one is, this is Kartri Karma Virodha and Avrita Anavrita Virodha, both are now said. The third point Shankaracharya says is, let us assume that the light is the illuminator of the object. Even though the light is the illuminator of the object, that light itself is known by the consciousness only. The object of consciousness only is the light. So this is what? So Basakatve Api Chaitanyena Basyaha Bhavati. It is illumined and it is known by consciousness. Therefore, the light has gotten over, different from itself. In the same way, let Buddhi be like a light. Light illumines the object. Buddhi also illumines objects. Light is known by consciousness. In the same way, Buddhi also is known by consciousness. Therefore, we say, Buddhihi Sva Itara Basakavati. So, Sva Itara, so itself and also Itara others. Basakavati, and then Basakatveti, and Basyatvati Dipavati. Light is known by consciousness, even though it is illuminator. Similarly, Buddhi is known by consciousness, even though it is illuminator of external things. Then Buddhi asks the question. We say object is illumined by the light, and light is illumined by Buddhi. You say Buddhi is illumined by Atma, different from Buddhi. Then he says, if you go on saying that, what will be the problem? It will be an endless business. Then question will be, Atma is illumined by something else. What is that? So he says, Purvapakshi Buddhi says, there will be anavastha doshaha, infinite regress. That is a defect. That defect will come. So he will say, Atma api sva itaram basakavan, so basakatvate dipavatam. So the argument will be endless. This is his question. Parada Shankaracharya says, that problem will not come because all other things are illumined. Therefore, they require an illuminator. Whereas Atma is never illumined, he does not require an illuminator. Gataha Basyaha. Therefore, Basaka Apeksha Vartate in the case of Gata. Deepaka Basyaha. So, Basaka Apeshaka Vartate, Apeksha Vartate. Buddhihi Basya. So, Basaka Apeksha Vartate for that also. Atma is never Basyaha. Atma is never an illumined object. Therefore, it does not require an illuminator. If his Atma is not illumined, then what is it? Atma is self-evident, self-effulgent. We don't say Atma illumines itself. We will never say Atma illumines itself. We will say Atma is illumination itself. Atma is self-effulgent. Therefore, we don't have any problem. Then he asks one more question. Purvapakshi Buddhist. You say that the eyes illumines the pot, for example, and Buddhi illumines the eye, and Atma is the Sakshi, illumines Buddhi. Then there will be a problem. What is the problem? Buddhist is presenting a new problem. This is called Karana Anavastha Doshaha. What is that? He says, when the eyes see the object, they make use of an instrument called the light. So when the Buddhi receives the objects, it makes use of the instruments called the sense organs and the vrittis, that is the thoughts. Therefore, his argument is, if anything has got to illumine something, it has to use an instrument like light, thought, senses and all that. Therefore, his argument is, if Atma has to illumine anything, then Atma also must make use of some instrument, thoughts, sense and all that, sense organs and all that. Atma has no instrument whatsoever. Then how can it illumine? And even if you accept an instrument, there will be a problem. to illumine that instrument, you require another instrument. So it will go on. This is called instrument infinite regress. So karana anavastha doshaha. This is the argument of Vaibhashika and Sautrantika Buddhists. Shankaracharya answers, no, no to this also. You cannot uniformly say that instrument is always required. How do you say so? Shankaracharya says, the eyes require instrument called light to illumine the object. If there is an object, the eyes require an instrument called light to know, to illumine the object. So you require three things: the eye, the illuminator, the object that is illumined, and the light, the instrument. So seer, object, instrument. Instrument is light. So Shankaracharya asks question, suppose you see the light itself. Eyes are the seers, and what is the object? Light itself is the object, not some other object, light itself. And what is the instrument that you use then in this case? You don't use any instrument. So when I see the object, light is the instrument. When I see the light itself, eyes do not make use of any instrument to see the light. So instrument need not be necessary always. That is Shankaracharya's argument. There are exceptions. Now it's not a uniform law. So for example, owls. Owls can see without the instrument of light in the night. So Acharya concludes, the instrument is not a must in all cases. In the same way, Atma also illumines Buddhi without requiring an instrument. So Karana Nirapekshaha Sannam Atma Buddhim Prakashayati. Atma Buddhim Prakashayati. So with this, the Vaibhashika, Sautrantika mantras, both of them are negated. Now comes the third Buddhist, who is Yogacara Matam. So Yogacara philosophy says, I don't accept the philosophy of Vaibhashika and Sautrantika Buddhist. He himself says, the Yogacara philosopher tells, I do not accept the example of the light also. I don't want light example. Because we face the problem that there is avrita gataha, anavrita gataha, so light illumining object, not illumining object, and all those doshas. But according to our system, there is no external world at all. So where is the question of example? There is no example, external world at all. So since we do not, who says this? Yogacara. Since we do not accept the external world, we don't give the example of light. Remember, in the previous two systems, they accepted the external world. They are Bahyartha Astitva Vadinaha. Yogacara says that there is no external world at all. It is only an illusion. Then what is there? We have only Kshanika Vijnana Pravaha. It is exactly like our stream. They have not said this. This is like our dream actually. They have not said this. It's an aside example. In dream, what happens? No external world at all. There is no dream tiger. What is dream tiger? It is nothing but tiger thought. There is no dream mountain. It is only mountain thought. It looks as though it is outside. Seeing the tiger is an illusion. So Yogacari and Advaitin are very close. There is no world other than Buddhi, they say. Therefore, when I see all of you, for example, during this lecture, you are not there according to them. I have got one thought, student thought comes first maybe, and then I see one student, then a man thought comes, I see another person, a woman thought comes, a tiger thought comes. So the gata jnana, pata jnana, vriksha jnana, manushya jnana, the pravahaha, eva asti. Only that alone is there. So gataha nasti, pataha nasti, none of them are there, only the pravaha of thoughts. So thought is an attribute of consciousness. Man is another attribute of consciousness. Saral kshanika vijnana, momentary. Sorrow is attribute of kshanika vijnana. Happiness is another attribute of kshanika vijnana. All are kshanika vijnana. Nothing is really there. This is said by the Yogacara Matam. Now Shankaracharya, he refutes them, giving many arguments. We'll see some of them here. Sarva vyavahara lopaha is the first argument. Sarva vyavahara lopaka means what? All transactions become meaningless, including your teaching transaction. Who tells whom? Shankaracharya tells the Yogacharya. So he says all transactions become meaningless, including your teaching transaction. So when the Buddhist teacher says, he gives certain sadhanas to attain certain sadhyams. But in your matam, sadhana, sadhya, veda itself is not there. Because sadhanam and sadhyam are what? They are all kshanika vijnana pravaha. Therefore, there is no reference for your teaching at all. So sadhana, sadhya, veda abhavaha. So vadi, pradivadi, veda abhavaha. You need not give arguments refuting Advaitins at all. Why do you refute me? Because who is Advaitin? He is another kshanika vijnani. Therefore, you are the vadi and you are the prativadi. And since everything is nothing but flowing consciousness, who should negate whom? Who has? Shankaracharya as Yogacharya Buddhist. Therefore, that transaction is not possible. Not only that, even ordinary transactions of gata patadi vyavaharas, api lupyeta, all are vijnanam, kshanika vijnanam. So, vijnanam iti krutvam vyavaharaha eva na sambhavati. This is the first dosha, sarva vyavahara lopaha. And the second dosha or defect Acharya gives is, we have a faculty known as pratyabhigya. This is another faculty called pratyabhigya, recognition. That word is a very beautiful word. Recognition means what? Recognition. It is cognizing the same object the second time, the third time, the fourth time. If you are cognizing for the first time, it is called cognition. When you come for second time, you realize the same object, same hall, whatever it is, then it is recognition, recognition. When I say recognize, means what? You will know that I knew the person before. Recognition is a perception of the same object a second time, third time, multiple times. This recognition is different from memory. We should be careful. Because when you recognize, what happens? The object is in front of you second time. In memory, the object is not in front of you. I can remember someone even after their death. So recognition means seeing an object for the second time. And recognition of the objects is the proof for the continuity of the object. It is not only proof for the continuity of the object, it is the proof for the continuity of the subject also. Acharya says, in your kshanika vijnanam, he tells the Purvapakshi Yogacharya Buddhist, since there is no continuity at all, pratyabhigya cannot be explained. Recognition of anything is expressed in Sanskrit in the form of soyam. There is a term called soyam, sahayam. What is the example we give? In Shastra, they give such example. Soyam devadattaha. That is this. When you say saha, I am devadattaha, soyam is sahayam, devadattaha, the saha, the adjective, connects Devadatta with the past. See certain things, how do we look at it? It's very, very interesting. Soyam Devadatta, he is that when we see somebody, he is so and so, how it is analyzed here. Then you say Saha, I am Devadatta. The Saha adjective connects Devadatta with the past. I am adjective connects Devadatta with the present. The two adjectives indicate Devadatta was in the past, and he is in the present also. So recognition is always in the form of soyam or tadidam, if the gender changes, or sayam. So this is the first argument against Yogacharya Matha. So what is their answer? They say recognition is possible, but recognition does not indicate continuity. How? They say when you recognize Devadatta, then you are saying it proves continuity of Devadatta. These are the words of whom? Yogacharya people. So whenever you say Soyam Devadatta, it does not mean Devadatta exists continuously. Then what does it mean? It means there are two Devadattas. One Devadatta is associated with the past, which is one Kshanika Vijnanam at that moment. And now there is another Devadatta in the present Kshanika Vijnanam corresponding to the second Devadatta you are identifying now. Then we say Devadatta is the name of the person. If there are two separate Devadattas, how do you say that Devadatta is this Devadatta? Soyam Devadatta means what? That Devadatta is this Devadatta. For that again, Yogacharya answers, it is because both of them are similar Devadattas. The past Devadatta is gone with the past moment. The present Devadatta is with the present moment. So you talk of recognition because both Devadattas are similar. For example, when you look at this clock at 7 o'clock and looking at the clock at 8 o'clock, it is not there in one as one continuous clock. But that 7 o'clock clock is gone with that moment, and the 8 o'clock clock that comes at 8 o'clock. It's another clock. They are separate, but 7 o'clock clock and 8 o'clock clock seem to be similar. Because of similarity, there is a seeming continuity between first cognition and the next or second cognition. There is recognition due to only recognition due to similarity. According to him, recognition is a Brahma. Recognition is an error. You can never recognize a thing. Since one thing goes on, no question of recognition. Because of similarity, there appears to be a feeling of recognition. That is what is Swayam Devadatta is. This is the argument of the Yogacara philosopher. Further, Shankaracharya gives the answer as the second dosha. He says, Sa drishya asambhavaha. That is the dosha. You Yogacharas, you say that recognition does not prove continuity. Okay. No object is continuous and there is only constant flow of objects. That is, we already saw all that thing. Shtanika Prabha. So what is happening is two objects are similar, and when two similar objects are there, you had a feeling that the previous object continuously exists. In fact, the previous object is gone, and in that place, there is another similar object in future has come. So what Brahma I will have? I think the same thing is there. So recognition is only a Brahma, a delusion. And what happens is there is only similarity of objects. For which Acharya says, in your Yogacara, even similarity concept cannot exist. Why? I can talk about similarity only if I know both the things, which means the Purva Devadatta and Vartamana Devadatta. Purva means the past Devadatta and Vartamana present Devadatta, previous and present Devadattas. If I should know Purva Devadatta, I should have existed when he existed. And I should be continuing to exist when the Vartamana Devadatta, present Devadatta is also there. So one who talks about past and present must exist both in the past and in the present. Similarly, between past Devadatta and present Devadatta, that is possible only if you accept a continuous subject. If the subject is Kshanikam, who will talk of similarity? So present subject cannot know past object. The past subject cannot know present object. And who will compare these two objects? The comparison is possible only if the subject was in the past and the same object is also in the present. So it is impossible in your philosophy. So if you remember, the first dosha is what? Sarva vyavahara lopaha. Second dosha is pratyabhijna asambhavaha. And the third dosha is sa drishya asambhavaha. Then the fourth dosha Acharya brings is mamata adi asambhavaha. Mamata adi asambhavaha. Mamata means mamakara, ahankara and all that. You cannot even use the word that objects belong to you or that object belong to me. You cannot even use those things, mamakara. The expressions of belonging, possessive adjectives cannot exist in your philosophy. It is because any possessive connects two objects, the possessor and the possessed. And in your matam, when one object is seen, the other object is not there. When the other object is seen, the first object is not there because all are kshanikam and both cannot coexist at all. Therefore, you cannot say this house is Devadatta's. When you see the house, Devadatta is not there. When you see Devadatta, house is not there. Both belong to two kshanikams. Therefore, all possessive adjectives are impossible. Yours, mine, his, her, and all of them. They will not be there. That is, mamata adi asambhavaha. And the fifth dosha is similar also. It is called Vyapadesha Asambhavaha. Vyapadesha Asambhavaha means you cannot name any object because when you see the object, the name is not there. Everything is Kshanikam. When you name, the object is not there. Because object is one Kshanika Vijnanam, name is another Kshanika Vijnanam. So each one lasts for one Kshanikam only. And therefore, Kshanikam means moment. So therefore, you cannot name anyone. Then the next dosha is Viruddham Anekamsha Asambhava Doshaha. And what is that? You say that the objects are not outside. Then all objects must be only part of Kshanika Vijnanam, qualifications of Kshanika Vijnanam. Therefore, Gata Jnanam, the Jnanam qualified by Gata because no Gata is outside. Pata Jnanam, Jnanam qualified by Pata. Pata means a cloth, a piece of cloth. Since there is no cloth outside. Similarly, when I see the whole world, since there is no world at all, it should be taken as an attribute of consciousness. These are all whose? That is Yogacharya philosopher's arguments. And Shankaracharya says, how can opposite attributes belong to one consciousness or one vijnanam? This is another dosha. For this, Yogacharya gives an answer. He says that all these opposite attributes, including the subject-object division, which are really not there because there is only one Kshanika Vijnanam. So all the opposite attributes do not really belong to Kshanika Vijnanam. It is only an impurity of Vijnanam, which we have to eliminate. So we ask, how opposite attributes will come? And he says, opposite attributes are not there. It is only an impurity. So the removal of the impurity, he calls it moksha. For that, again, Shankaracharya gives the answer, which is another dosha he addresses. That is, in your philosophy, you cannot use the word impurity at all. Because impurity means a thing other than itself. That alone is an impurity. It is always extraneous. Water is impure, means water contains something other than water itself. You cannot say water has got impurity of water. Now you say, Kshanika Vijnanam has got impurity. And Acharya says, you say there is nothing other than Kshanika Vijnanam. There is no part other than the part Jnanam. There is no tree other than the tree Jnanam. If there are no subjects other than Jnanam, how can there be impurity other than Jnanam? Acceptance of impurity is Swamatahanihi, he says. This is the next dosha, Swamatahanihi. And the last dosha is, to avoid this problem, if you say that the impurity also is Kshanika Vijnanam, and if you say that impurity also is same Vijnanam, that's Kshanika Vijnanam, momentary, then Acharya again says, if that be so, there is no question of eliminating the impurity because you can eliminate anything only other than, which is other than itself. If you accept impurity is other than the original, the removal of impurity is possible. If not, removal of impurity itself is not possible. And therefore, this is called Anirmoksha Prasangaha. So, in your philosophy, moksha itself is not possible. And because of all these reasons, Yogacara Matam does not stand the test of logical analysis. So what are the doshas now, Acharya said? Sarva Vyavahara Lopaha, Pratyapijna Asambhavaha, Shadrisya Asambhavaha, Mamathadi Asambhavaha, Vyapadesha Asambhavaha, Viruddha Anekamsha Asambhavaha, and Anirmoksha Prasangaha. I just only said this for the sake of academic interest, not that we need to know all of that. How Acharya has approached all these various disputes and how he is refuting, just to give that knowledge. And because of these reasons, Yogacara Matam also is not tenable. Therefore, Kshanika Vijnanam is not Atma. Therefore, Buddhi is not Atma. And therefore, Atma is something other than Buddhi, which is Nitya Vijnanam. It is not a momentary Vijnanam, it is a Nitya Vijnanam. The refuted three branches of Buddhism. Only one more is left, and that is the fourth branch known as Madhyamika Matam or Shunyavadaha. And in the other three branches, they had one common feature. All the three of them accepted Kshanika Vijnanam as the subject, whereas the fourth Madhyamika Matam, they do not accept even Kshanika Vijnanam also. Therefore, in this matam, shunyam or nothingness alone is the truth. That is why it is called the shunyavada nihilism. So it's not quite exactly the same, but I'm using that word. So if you see the development, the first two accept object and subject. That is Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. And the third one accepts, that is Yogacara accepts subject alone and not the object. Because they said there is no one. And the fourth one is rejecting both subject and object. And Acharya does not spend much time in refuting Shunyavada at all or Madhyamika Buddhism. Throughout the Prasthanatraya Bhashyam, that is Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutras, Upanishad Bhashyams, Shankaracharya does not spend much time refuting Shunyavadis. He takes a lot of time only for discussing Yogacara Matam, because that also says the Vijnanam is the Atma with no object. So we also say Vijnanam is the Atma with no objects. The third Matam and Advaita Matam are the closest. Yogacara says Vijnanam is the subject and there is no object. Advaita also says Vijnanam is the subject and there is no object. But what is the difference between them? We say, according to Yogacara, Kshanika Vijnanam is subject and no object. According to Advaita, Nitya Vijnanam is the subject and there is no object. Only the adjective of Vijnanam alone there is difference. Otherwise, both are close. For them, momentary consciousness. For us, eternal consciousness. Otherwise, both are same, both are close. Because of the very close similarity, Acharya takes pains to distinguish the two matas. He does not spend time at all in refuting Shunyavada. He has only one line against Shunyavada. What is this? It is Sarva Pramana Virodaha. Shunyavada is against all Pramanams because all Pramanams, they reveal the existence alone. They give the knowledge of Asti, Asti, Asti only. That is why we are called Astikas. Asti, Asti, Itivajinaha. And they don't give the knowledge of Nasti at all. All Pramanams reveal Asti, Asti only. Eyes say Rupam Asti, ears say Shabda Asti, Anumanam says Parvate Agni Asti. We already saw that example in Shastram, Swargaha Asti Api Asti. And therefore, you cannot talk about non-existence. And even if you say that all these Pramanams are erroneous perceptions and objects only, then also for the errors to exist, there must be a substratum as existent entity. Not only that, even to talk about non-existence, because non-existence will not talk about non-existence itself, we require an existent talker. Thus, because of all these basic reasons, Shunyavada is untenable. Therefore, our conclusion is what? Buddhi is not Atma. With this, Bauddha Mata Khandanam is also over. And in the sixth mantra that we saw earlier, the Charvaka or Lokayata Mata Khandanam also was done. So in the sixth and the seventh, Charvaka Matam and Bauddha Mata Khandanams took place. And by the negation of these two matas, an interesting question, what Shankaracharya achieved? Achievement is what? I am not the body. I am not the Buddhi also. And I am the Jyotihi, Swayam Jyotihi, which is different from the body and Buddhi. And therefore, the Upanishad statement falls into place. Because Upanishad, what it said, Kathama Atmeti Yoyam Vijnanamayaham Praneshu Hridi Antar Jyotihi. In the seventh mantra we just read, the word Hridi is very important because it is said, Atma is the Buddhi, indicating Atma is not the Buddhi. Atma is in the Buddhi, it says. Atma is not the Buddhi. If water is in the pot, then water is not the pot. If you are in the hall, then you are not the hall. If Atma is in the Buddhi, Atma is not the Buddhi. And thereafterwards, in the second part of the seventh mantra, the Upanishad reveals two aspects of Swayam Jyotir Atma, which we should remember for the sake of the following discussion. What are the two features of Atma? One is Paramarthika feature, which is Chit Swarupam. And the other is its own Vyavaharika future, that is Chidabhasa Swarupam. So Chit Swarupam and Chidabhasa Swarupam. Atma has two forms, Paramarthika Chit, and the other one is Vyavaharika Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness. Paramarthika Chit Swarupam is Paramatma. Vyavaharika Chidabhasa Swarupam is Jivatma. Therefore, one Atma itself has got both features. And when we say Paramarthika I, it is Lakshyartha I, Aham Brahma Asmi, that I. And when we say referring to Vyavaharika nature, it is Vachyartha Chidabhasa I. Once I come to operate from Vyavaharika nature, and once I begin to identify the Jivatma role, then I have become a located individual. Not only that, I have got intimate association with Buddhi. It is because the Chidabhasa is inseparably associated with Buddhi. We already saw that earlier. I got the name Vijnana Mayaha. When I say Paramarthika Swarupam, I am Vijnanam. When I associated with Jivatma body individual, I become Vijnana Mayaha. From Vijnanam to Vijnana Mayaha. When you say Vyavaharika Swarupam Vijnana Mayaha, so it is Vikararthe. I become Savikaraha. Subject to fluctuation and changes. And not only that, I am subject to avasthas also. Fully active state is called Jagradavastha, waking state. Semi-active state is called Swapnavastha. Fully passive state is Sushupti Avastha. And not only I have got the three avasthas, I am Ihaloka, Paraloka, Gami also. I am a traveler, going from one loka to another. So in the following portion, we should remember that the Upanishad uses the word Purushaha in a very, very loose form, which can lead to a lot of confusion. It will have two meanings. Purushaha, the word Purushaha will have two meanings. One meaning is Vyavaharikam Chidabhasa Rupam. Vyavaharikam Chidabhasa is Swarupam is one aspect, Jivatma Swarupam. And the second one is Paramarthikam Chit Swarupam, that is Paramatma Swarupam. It is used for both. The word Purushaha is used for both. Where we should take what sense as Jivatma or Paramatma, for that, Vachyartham, Alakshyartham and all that, then, you know, we should be very agile and alert to understand and then interpret them. Otherwise, the following mantras will be confusing. That is why it just alerted in the beginning itself. And in the following portion, Jivatma Swarupam will be discussed. That is, Paramatma himself has come down to Vyavaharika form as Jivatma. Now let us read that mantra. Mantra 4.3.8. Sava ayam purusho jaya manaha shariram abhisampadhya manaha papa bisam srijyate sa utkraman mriya manaha papmano abhijahati. So sava ayam purushaha. This purusha, which purusha? The Purushaha who is originally the Chit, the Paramarthika, Sarvagata, Nitya, Achala, Sthanuhu, Godastaha, that Purusha, the original Purusha, who is I am, which has come down to Vyavaharika world, assuming the form of Chidabhasa as the reflected Jiva, this reflected version of the original. That's what is meant by all this word. And what does he do now? Jayamanaha. He is continuously born. This Jiva is continuously born. His very business is taking birth only. We say, I have this business, that business. Our business is only taking birth. It is not Jataha. He says, Jayamanaha. interesting. Yataha means one time birth. But Jayamanaha means what? Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jatare Sayanam. Continuous going on. That is why he gives the title Jantuhu. We are all Jantus only according to Shastra. All of us are all Jantus whose only business is to be born and die constantly, eternally. What is Janma? The Upanishad defines Jayamanaha. Shariram Abhisambhatya Manaha. Shariram means the sthula shariram. Abhisambhatya Manaha means repeatedly assuming. Go on assuming again and again this grass body. So this Purusha is constantly assuming newer and newer body. As Krishna said, Vasamsi Jirnani Yatabihaya Navani Grinnati Naroparani. If it has to constantly put on new shariram, another thing also should happen. Correct? One has to remove the old one also. Therefore, constant birth presupposes constant death also. Therefore, Upanishad says, Mriyamanaha. Mriyamanaha means Utkraman. It is constantly dying. And what is the definition of death? Death is defined as it's called Utkraman because quitting the body. Utkramati, Urdvam Gachati. It goes out. So this Purusham is constantly being born by assuming the body and constantly dying by quitting the body. Every time it does, what happens? Papma bihim samsrujyate papmanaha vijahati. These are all the word in that sloka. So here the word papma has got a special meaning. Papma here means the body and the sense organs. Papma means papa ashrita karya karanaihi samsrujyate. Shariram karanai karanani. This is body and all the instruments, the sense organs. So lakshanaya. Lakshanaya means example. Pava shabdha is given. So tad ashrita shariram karanancha suchayati. That's what it indicates, the word papa. So he gets constantly associated with organs and gets constantly dissociated with organs. Why body is called papam? Body and sense organs are called papam because body is product of punyam and papam only. But we choose papam word because body is responsible for samsara, limitation, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, all of that. Therefore, papa is emphasized to indicate that it is samsara karana. So this entering one body and leaving that body and entering another body is called ihaloka paraloka gamanam. Etat sharira shariraantara gamanam. So ihaloka means this body, paraloka means the another body. Mantra 4.3.9. We may not be able to complete this mantra, but we'll read up to some point. Tasya va etasya purushasya dve evastane bhavataha itancha paralokasthanam cha sandhyam tritiyam swapnasthanam tasmin sandhye sthane tishtannete ube sthane pashyati idancha paralokasthanam cha ata yathakramoyam paralokasthane bhavati tamakramam akramyam ubayan papmanah anandam cha pashyati sa yatra prasvapiti asya lokasya sarvavatah Matram apadayam, swayam vihatyam, swayam nirmayam, svene basam, svene jyotisha, prasvapitim, atrayam purushaha, swayam jyotir bhavati, swayam jyotir bhavati. Here, Yajnavalkya introduces the dream, the swapna, as a means of knowing ihaloka and paraloka. Therefore, swapna is given a title, Sandhyam Sthanam. Sandhyam means Sandhav Bhavam Sandhyam. That which is at a junction, connecting two things. Just for example, if you take two rooms, there is a door, the doorway that connects both the rooms. That is Sandhyam. So, Sandhyam connects two rooms. And what are the two rooms here? Ihaloka is one room and Paraloka is another room as though. So, Ihaloka Sthanam is one thing. Paraloka sthanam is another thing, and swapna is said as the sandhyam sthanam, a vantage or central connecting place. So the Upanishad points out that remaining in swapna avastha, a person can peep into two lokas. as a person can stand at the door and peep into both the rooms, remaining in Swapnam, one can experience both Ihaloka and Paraloka. And here, Upanishad conveys a peculiar idea, which we have not seen in all other Upanishads so far. What is that? Generally, Swapna experience is nothing but a replay of the Jagrat experience, waking experiences. That is how we have defined Swapna in Tattva Bodha, if you remember. Jagrat avasthayam yad drishtam yad shrutam tad janita vasanaya nidra samaye ya prapanchaha pratiyate sa swapna avastha. That was the definition given there. Whatever we have seen in Jagrat avastha, that is registered in the mind as vasana and that alone is replayed. This is our general understanding about swapna. As Jagrat avastha, Jagrat vasana janyam. But Upanishad says something new here. It says, when a person is in the early childhood, then the Swapna is not based on Jagrat Avastha Anubhava. Because Jagrat Avastha Anubhava has not happened so much. Because the child has got only very minimum Jagrat Avastha Anubhava. Because the sense organs are not well developed. And therefore, during early childhood, whatever Swapna the child sees, is connected with the Purva Janma. You know, when a child is sleeping, we will say, oh, the child smiled, the child laughed, all that we say. Therefore, what? It's all something related to Purva Janma. So just the child is able to experience Purva Janma Anubhava in its early childhood. Therefore, one gets a connection with Paraloka Sthanam in Swapna. And during the middle age, our Swapna experience is predominantly Ihaloka experience alone, this world experience, which is recorded and replayed. And Upanishad says that as we reach the old age and death, already the next loka is getting ready because of prarabdha, because present prarabdha is going to go away, exhausted, new prarabdha is going to get shape and it is going to give a new body. Therefore, the next to be prarabdha that is going to come to the next janma or the would-be prarabdha, at least some of them are activated. And because of the future prarabdha, the prarabdha balam or dharma balatim, in the dream one experiences that which is going to come in the next janma, which is the other paraloka sthana. Therefore, in early childhood we experience the past janma and in the old age future janma. So this purusha experiences. So in the swapna avastha he does all that. Therefore, Upanishad says that Swapna is Sandhyam Sthanam, which gives the Purusha a glimpse of the past Janma and a glimpse of the future Janma. And that is here said, at least in one portion. Tasyava Yetasya Purushasya. For this Purushaha, this Jivatma, in Vyavaharika form, the lower self, the Ahankara aspect is talked here. Tasya Purushasya Dve Sthane Bhavataha. There are two fields, dvayasthane bhavataha, two fields of experiences, two lokas. And what are the two sthanams? Idancha, paralokasthanancha. Ihalokasthanam, this world, and paralokasthanam, the other world, which can refer to the past world, past janma, as well as the future world, or future janma, the past shariram, as well as the future shariram. In fact, Acharya takes as shariram only in his bhashyam. Idam shariram, isihaloka shariram, vartamana shariram, and paralokasthana means future shariram, bhavi shariram cha. And there is a third one also, which is sandhyam tritiyam sthanam. There is a third field of experience, which is called sandhyam. Sandhav bhavatam. We already saw that. Bhava. So, which is in the sandhi, remaining in which one sees the present janma, one can see the future janma, and one can see the past janma. And Yajnavalkya does not name the intermediary stage actually, but we have to understand it as Swapna. So Sandhyam, Swapna Sthana. And incidentally, there are two types of approaches. One by Shankaracharya and another by Sureshwaracharya. A minor difference of opinion, a grammatical point again. Yes, Sureshwaracharya is a Vartikakara. So he always goes into much more analysis of grammar and all. So in the first line, Upanishad says that there is dve eva sthane. There are only two, eva, only two sthanams for Purusha. What does it mean? I don't have a third sthanam at all. So when you look to the second line, the Upanishad seems itself to contradict it. as it says, Tritiyam Swapnasthanam. That is the third stage called Swapnasthanam. So what about the first line? Eva means Tritiyam should not come only. If third is there, Eva should not be there. So Shankaracharya says, Eva should be emphasized, for Dve Eva is clearly said. And therefore, Tritiyam should not be taken as a third, and it should be put in quotes as though Tritiyam. And it should be taken as an intermediary sthanam only. It should not be counted as a third sthanam at all. This is what Shankaracharya says. I'll finish it in a minute. That's what Shankaracharya's argument. So he gives the logic also for that. If there are two villages, and if there is a connecting path between them, the connection is called the third village. It's not called the third village. Or to take our own example, there are two rooms, and in between there is a door. The door cannot be counted as a third room. There is room number one, room number two, and there is a connection. But it is something different from two rooms, and it is something connecting the two rooms. So Turiya means it is not the third, but Sandhyam Sthanam in this regard. This is Shankaracharya's view. And Shri Acharya says, since the Upanishad very clearly stated Tritiyam Sthanam, we should take Swapna as separately a third state. So how do you account for Eva, Eva Karadam? Sureshwara says, by saying Eva should not be connected to Dve. Eva should not be connected, Eva Kara should not be connected to Dve, but to Sthane Eva. And you should take those two as Sthanams, and this is the third state. Anyway, they are all incidental topic, and we need not bother about them, just for the sake of information I gave. So there is Swapna, which is presented as a corridor, as a sill, window sill, remaining, in which one can experience Purva Janma in earlier stage and future Janma in the later state. That is the idea. So remaining in that Swapna Sthanam, remaining in the corridor, remaining in the connecting state, we have to supply the subject Purushaha. And Purushaha, the Jivatma, experiences this world, the Ihaloka and Paraloka as well in the next, as the next Janma. And what are the two Sthanams? Upanishad clarifies it as Idancham Paraloka Sthanancham. And therefore, if we get some strange dream, for example, we see ourselves in some other form and all that, in dreams, you know, peculiar things come, it indicates we get into another Janma or another stage. So coming events cast their shadows. As we grow old, we get the idea of next Janma story. Then what will happen if these are all things for all these people? What happens to a Jnani? For a Jnani also, these things also will be there, right? What happens to him? That is, he can have Swapna Ihaloka also, or Puraloka, but may not be that of future Janma. So we will see that aspect of it, Jnani's aspect, in the next class. Continue the shloka then. Tasya prakriti lina chaya parasamaheshwara. Sri Krishna arpanamastu.